Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
You're going to get knocked down, but it's the person that gets back up again is the person that I respect. And I respect you because you believe in yourself. When you believe in yourself, I believe in you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Looking for a little inspirational words to share.
As we get well, the weather is not not too inspiring.
Yeah, it's what we call in the weather terminology. That's what the weather is. It's kind of rainy, wet, and cool for what? Next week? I don't think it gets much better in the next week. So you know what? Don't do anything this weekend. Don't worry about going outside. Don't worry about the grass or any landscaping. Just kind of chill out. You got F1, you got hockey games, you got, you got Twins, actually. So I suppose I wouldn't worry about being doing stuff outside.
Well, hockey games with Twins, let me tell you, last night, my wife was trying to get a little bit of sleep and catch up, and I had double baby duty while watching hockey game, which, I mean, you only have two hands and two babies, and, I mean, I was getting desperate dad scenario where I put the two of them into car seats and I'm swinging both car seats watching the game to try and get them quiet. And then that works and I take one out of a car seat.
You don't have the automatic rocker thing where you just kind of wind it up and it.
We have one of those that's upstairs in the nursery. You know, this was downstairs.
Ah, gotcha.
First they're sleeping, then they might want to feed, then they might want to rock. Yeah.
Strap them on the back of the dogs and they'll walk them around the house.
Yeah.
You know, like a little, no? All right. We will talk Bills draft. Yeah, so we've had Joe on the show. We enjoy having Joe on the show. He's knowledgeable. We love their website. But I got to be honest with you, I think he's nuts. So that's a good setup for a guest, right? If he still is with us and hasn't hung up, senior NFL draft analyst from the Draft Network, Joe Marino, joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Joe, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. I meant that in a complimentary way, by the way. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm anxious to dig into this. That's quite the introduction.
I just wondered what possessed you to want to do your own Bill-specific draft board, which you said essentially you had so much fun you would not do that again.
You know, I do this work. I've been doing NFL draft analysis for a long time now, and it's always been scouting in a vacuum where I consider the players and what their role could be in the NFL, and I put an evaluation on it, and that's about it. When you actually do it you do it through the lens of a team, and you're aware of their needs, what they like at positions, the roles that they need to fill, it really changes the dynamic. And it was very enlightening to me because so often we can be critical of a pick. Maybe I have a player rated in the third round that winds up going number 25 overall. But for that team, it made a lot of sense. And, you know, maybe there's the opposite of that as well. And so I think really putting on that Bills lens, stacking the board in terms of the way I think it makes sense for them, it was a great exercise for me and really shed some light on the work that I do and maybe some things that I need to be more mindful of in my process.
A draft board grade guys that only would be of consideration to the Bills? Like you didn't grade out quarterbacks, for example?
So what I did is it was with just the first round in mind. Mm-hmm. So I wound up stacking 36 players to give the list of every possible player that I think would be a good choice for the Bills at number 30 overall. And in that 36 includes, as very much a formality, – the five quarterbacks that we, you know, we're pretty sure are going to come off the board early. So it's really not necessary to stack 30 players because, you know, five of them are going to be quarterbacks. So you really only need 25. But I went to 36 just to, you know, make sure I included every possible name that I thought would be a good idea for the Bills in the first round.
How much has that changed if you'd have done this before free agency, Joe? Like, have they met their needs? Have they re-signed their guys and all that? The offseason that they've had, how much has the board been changed?
It's a good question. I don't think that much would change because I was really more mindful of fits and players and value. And so, you know, there's certain players on here like a Micah Parsons and a Christian Darrisaw that I don't really think would be need picks for the Bills, but because of their talent and skill level, you have to rank them. So, like, at you know, at what point would it make sense for you to pick that player, even though it's not really a role or a need for you right now? When does it make sense to pull the trigger on that player? And so I did include a lot of players that aren't necessarily needs right now. So I'm not sure that free agency would have changed too much.
Let me follow up on Jeremy's question, because we were having the discussion earlier, Joe, about how the philosophy of the Bills might affect the draft. Now, you could look at it and go, there's no clear starter at cornerback two, boom, done. That should be the first pick the Bills should make. But you also have a team now that has its franchise quarterback in place, is very much driven by its offense to a specific degree, very much driven by its passing game. Does that, a philosophical shift or strength of the franchise, would that affect your board? Would you give higher grades to a receiver, a tight end, something on offense, because that's what the Bills are all about right now?
Yes, absolutely. And I think if, you know, I released this on my podcast, Locked On Bills, yesterday, but a player like Elijah Moore, I have number 24, which, again, with the quarterback asterisk, is really 19, because I do think it's important for the Bills to keep investing in that strength and maintaining those ingredients that made the Bills offense so dynamic in 2020. So, yes, it did have a greater emphasis on receivers and offensive pieces that I think are necessary for the Bills to keep that engine humming that made the Bills such a successful team last year.
One of the things you have tweeted out on that podcast on the Locked On Bills, you're going to react to people's dream and doom scenarios for the Bills draft. What is your dream scenario for the Bills draft?
You know, for me, it's coming away with your answer at cornerback too. You know, Levi Wallace is very much the floor, and you think long-term with this cornerback situation. The only guys under contract beyond this season for the Bills at cornerback are Trey White and Dane Jackson. That's it. No other cornerback is under contract. So there are short and long-term needs. And so I think one of those first two picks really needs to be a cornerback that they believe in. I'll tell you what, I think the Bills have earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to drafting cornerbacks, or at least Sean McDermott. When you look over his entire career, he's been able to really maximize and develop defensive backs. And so there's certainly players that I prefer, but if they have the guy that they like and they pick him in the first two rounds, I think that would be very logical. And then, you know, doing something to bolster this pass rush up front. And that's a little bit challenging because the bottom 25% of the first round is not often kind to defensive ends. And, you know, the best pass rushers in the NFL are typically high picks in the first round or somebody later in the draft that develops and reaches their ceiling like a Danielle Hunter. So I know that the Bills are somewhat in no man's land to really get an answer, but taking a swing on a guy like Jason Owe from Penn State in the first round, maybe a Peyton Turner in the second round, I think it's really important that the Bills get better in terms of cornerback two and better in terms of affecting the quarterback with their edge rush.
Yeah, and those are the two positions I think we've all been kind of keying in on. So taking that into account, Brandon Bean has a record of moving around in the draft. You know, he could move up in round one. He's moved back into round one. He's talked about, you know, who knows, maybe he trades out of 30, a few spots, gets. Is there a guy going to your Bill-specific board? And maybe it's more towards cornerback and edge, Joe, but is there a guy you would look at and go, all right, I know you're at 30. Tell you what, there's this guy you should really want to move up and go get would be great for your team. And I'm not talking about going to, like, four to get Kyle Pitts, nothing like that.
Yeah. So I don't think the Bills – when it comes to trading up for the Bills, I think it's a logical idea. if I were going to trade up, I would still want to make sure that I had three picks in the first three rounds. And so what I would be looking at if I'm the Bills, it's pick 161, 174, 213, 236, using those to help you move up in the third or move up in the second.
Yep.
You know, I don't think I would want to part with 61 or 93 to make that type of move up the board if I didn't have to. And so I think it's a worthwhile conversation. You know, rostering seven draft picks could be difficult for this football team. So if they come away with five players, but those moves come from jumping up from 93 or getting into the fourth round, something like that would make a lot of sense to me. But in terms of like just specifically those players, looking at defensive end Quiddy Pay from Michigan, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, those would be the two guys that I would think about moving up for. You know, if you don't really think they can get to 30, which would be aggressive to think that they get down there, or one of those top cornerbacks. You think about Greg Newsom from Northwestern, J.C. Horn from South Carolina. That would be a big swing up the board, even Patrick Surtain. But to me, it's Pay, Ojulari, and Greg Newsom, the corner from Northwestern, that I think would be a reasonable target that you're not going to have to go up 10, 15 spots, but maybe just a few to make sure you get a guy that you're really comfortable becoming an answer for you.
Final thing for me, and it's actually about offense, even though we've been talking about edge and corner. Okay, so if you were a tight end or a wide receiver, to our discussion of this is what the Bills' strength is, you should always keep looking to add to your passing offense. Whether it's at 30, Joe, or maybe they trade back a few spots. Low round one, high round two. Is there a tight end or would there be a wide receiver that you would say, because what you have now with Josh, that would be a good way to go?
If I'm the Bills, I'm not really thinking about a tight end early in this year's draft. I recognize the opportunity to get better at tight end, and Dawson Knox has been inconsistent, but you know, I can rant about Dawson Knox for a long time. But if the Bills really feel like they need to know that they're getting a guy that can upgrade that position in 2021, I don't think you're going to find that in the draft. It's not a great tight end draft. You know, Pat Freiermuth, Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, Brevin Jordan from Miami, those guys don't really have a favorable year one trajectory. And you think about tight ends, it's a very slow developing position in the NFL. And that's because they're learning how to be offensive linemen and wide receivers simultaneously. That's hard enough to do, you know, just in and of itself, but you put both of those together, and that's why you see even the best tight end prospects like an O.J. Howard or a T.J. Hockenson, you know, their year one impact is very, very modest. And so now you're talking about even further down the board and thinking that you're going to upgrade a spot where you've already got 2 years invested in developing Dawson Knox. I just think it's an empty promise to think that going with a tight end in the first three rounds is really going to provide you that answer for a slow developing position when the talent's somewhat underwhelming this year. Now, even this, for wide receiver, the Bills are pretty stacked at wide receiver right now, but the long-term concern is something to be mindful of. Emmanuel Sanders, probably a one-year thing. Cole Beasley is aging. His contract's up after 2022. They need to make sure that, like I said earlier, that those ingredients that made Josh Allen an MVP candidate in 2020 are always in place, and that means having four really dynamic wide receivers. And so guys like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss or Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, Terrace Marshall from LSU, even you could take a swing on a Rondale Moore from Purdue or Kadarius Toney from Florida. Those players potentially in a trade back or even just picking one at 30 would give you a lot of comfort in knowing that you're ahead of that need at wide receiver, in that you're, you know, getting guys in your building now that you need to claim meaningful roles down the future, which would give you a leg up on getting that timing down with Josh Allen and solidifying their role in the offense.
Get a plug in again for your podcast and also the Draft Network and the mock draft, the Draft Machine.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. The podcast is Locked On Bills. It's a daily podcast on the Buffalo Bills, and you know, I revealed my draft board for the Bills yesterday. Today is dream and doomsday scenario, as well as a 7-round mock draft today. So you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, on the Odyssey app as well. And then thedraftnetwork.com, we have our mock draft machine where you can be Brandon Bean. You can simulate the draft and make those selections for the Bills and see how you do and maybe compare to what actually happens at the end of the month. So thedraftnetwork.com and the Locked On Bills podcast.
Very good. Thanks, as always, for giving us your time, Joe. We always love having you guys on the show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Enjoy the draft. Joe Marino. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter, at The Joe Marino, if you want to follow him on Twitter. And the Draft Machine is fun to play with, and good guys. So appreciate Joe coming on with us on the Western Hotline.
Would you like guess the prospect? I have it prepared.
I have a legal pad in front of me with a blank spot for notes.
All right.
Bishop Sankey.
Guess.
Do I need the geographical map in the studio here? Are you gonna?
You should.
Just in case.
All right, hold on. Let me add that clue here while I can.
Hang on. I'll be off headphones for a second. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, say something real secretive about Howard.
Okay. All right. I don't really have anything.
Ow! Hang on. Sorry, headphones fell off and I hurt myself. Okay, go ahead.
I don't have Brayton's map that considers Virginia to be South Atlantic, so
yeah,
I don't know.
And Pittsburgh is off the coast of Virginia, by the way, in the water.
It's diagram. It says Pittsburgh on the outside because somebody on the map wrote like the number one where Pittsburgh would be in Pennsylvania, and
nobody even knows about this map.
I'll tweet it out again. Go ahead. I'm getting someone from Cascadia next week, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay, good.
Here we go. Guess the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I hail from a state capital.
Ooh.
Okay, that narrows it down to 50.
Okay.
There you go. There's 50
Howard,
of those.
Through all 50 right now.
And went west to college. All right, there you go.
Okay.
All right, here's the real clue. Thurman Thomas won the NFL, the MVP, the year that I was drafted in the second round. And while I never won the MVP, I did make 5 Pro Bowls, getting the nod in each of my first 5 seasons. And I burst onto the scene. Well, maybe not. You knew me in college. I played wide receiver for a national champion, a blue blood program that got to the mountaintop, and then didn't have to wait too long once I got to the NFL to have similar success. My first year, I matched Thurman in rushing touchdowns, also hauled in some receiving touchdowns, just like the reigning MVP. All told, he finished out with 12 touchdowns to my 11 overall as both of us headed to the postseason.
Okay, so
what year did
Thurman would have won 90 or 91. I can't remember which season.
Okay.
But this guy was a wide receiver, you said?
Then when
on a national championship team that's a blue blood program.
Mm-hmm.
So early 90s, blue blood programs. The U, Florida State, Oklahoma, Nebraska. A wide receiver who becomes a running back? From a blue blood program.
And he went to the playoffs with Thurman Thomas.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, right at the end there.
Huh. I feel like you gave us enough on the first clue to get this.
I check the text line, see if anybody's got the text.
I don't want to look up at the Twitter. Okay. I don't have a guess.
I'm going to go with a name that I think we mentioned earlier this week. I'm just throwing it out there. Ricky Waters.
That is correct.
Oh, very good. Very nice.
Ricky Waters.
And I knew that he was a receiving running back.
He was a receiver at Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm. And the year they won the national championship.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Wow. Other clues included... I'm not in the Hall of Fame yet. I don't know that I'll make it, but word on the street is that Sal Capaccio made a case for me on WGR earlier this week.
Wow.
He was also in Any Given Sunday, Ricky Waters was. That clue was coming.
He was
the running back for the Dallas Knights, featured in the final game of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Name listed in the credits. Name is on a number 32 Knights jersey in the game.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Set an NFL record, postseason record, with 5 rushing touchdowns in a game once.
Ah, wow.
Had 3 touchdowns in a Super Bowl win. Wasn't the MVP. That went to Steve Young. So there you go. Ricky Waters. Second round pick.
Very good.
The year that Thurman won the MVP.
Yeah, good clues, by the way. Really good.
That is the first time in the history of Guess the Prospect. I just threw one out there seeing if something would take the bait, and it did.
Well,
I could have just given a Brayton clue where I said, this man ran fast one time.
He had a first name and a last name. Here's your guess. Who is it? Angry Brayton.
Which,
you're funny
which
when you're
state
angry
capital
Brayton.
Did he hail from?
Oh, that's
Harrisburg,
right.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, very good. And he went west to Notre Dame. Yeah, not west like west. Very good. So he would have been, No, that's northeast. Ah, who cares? Hey, by the way, Dan Dunleavy? Kids Are Hot Tonight was a Loverboy reference.
Wow, we're getting Loverboy references?
Yeah, because I tweeted it out, and Dan tweeted back, he said, and the AC/DC reference picked up as well? What AC/DC reference? Last night.
All I know, if Dan's listening, if you're going to do Loverboy references, then when the Sabres play a pair of goals on, or a pair of games on the weekend, I better get some work in for the weekend in one of these games this weekend.
Yeah, he said, hang on. Yes, and he tweeted back to me, yes, indeed, Mike Reno fans, I was, in reference to Kids Are Hot Tonight for Loverboy. But then he later tweeted me and somebody else, and the AC/DC reference picked up as well. Love it. I did not catch the AC/DC reference. Great job on the Loverboy. Dan, that is right in my music wheelhouse, sir. Thank you for doing that. All right, good job on GTP. Let's do our final code word. I mean, we've done 75,000 of these in the last 5 weeks, so it's an emotional moment for me. See if I can make it through. Baseball is the last code word.
That's
honestly
a good word.
Yeah, you know what? In deference to baseball, I'm going to take 4 hours to get this in. Brayton liked it. I thought that was good. BASEBALL, baseball. Text that to 72881. You have until 10 o'clock this morning to do so. Message and data rates may apply. If you text it in, and it is the code, and you are the winner, I should say, you will get $1,000. Great way to start your weekend. Baseball, 72881. Right? 8 more code words coming up rest of the day. More chances for you to win the National Win Cash Contest, which, by the way, is brought to you by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Aftermath of that game against the Islanders, that Eichel was likely out for the year. It was a significant injury and he was likely not going to play. But I didn't know for sure. I was careful. You know, I knew there was a good chance it was long term. I knew there was a good chance he wasn't going to play again. But you never know what happens. In the aftermath of that situation, I was under the impression he wasn't going to play again this year.
He sustained an injury now a few weeks ago, that quickly after our medical team took a look at, did all the imaging, and there was a herniated disc in his neck there. The course of treatment was to rehab it and to give it some time to see if the disc could move back to where the doctors were comfortable. And then, the hope was that he could jump back in and play. That was done last week. And although there was slight improvements, there still wasn't a comfort from anyone that it was the right time to jump back into the lineup.
That's Kevin Adams from the Zoom call yesterday on the Eichel situation. So then the neck was new, right? So the neck was not injured pre-season, right? Because he said he sustained an injury a few weeks ago.
I don't know what to do with them anymore.
Not that it causes me loss of sleep and my life will continue this weekend no matter what, but I was curious how he phrased it. To me, it sounded like the neck was new.
New, right. But then you had Don Granato saying he's playing through it.
Through, right.
Was it a small problem that became a big problem, so that's a new injury for an old nagging thing? Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Two things in the world of hockey. We've got the Sabres playing this weekend twice against the Penguins. The Montreal Canadiens called up Cole Caulfield.
Oh.
Now, this might be a player that you decide to root for just because, Brayton, the scouting report on Cole Caulfield was, he's awesome, but he's too short, right? Basically.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so... I hate the whole narrative now where it's just like, oh, well, this guy's too small to play in the NHL. Look at Cole Caulfield scoring a bunch of goals in college and in juniors just before he got drafted. Look at Alex DeBrincat put up
That's
the success
the guy from
he did
Erie. I was trying to remember
Erie,
who it was. Yeah.
And then get drafted by the Blackhawks in the second round. Every team passed up on him. And Chicago was gifted
small
with
guys.
Him in the second round. Hmm. And then he goes out and scores 40-plus goals in his second season in the NHL.
Now, we'll see about Caulfield. He has been called up to the Montreal Canadiens. He played two games. Is this right with Laval, with the Laval Rocket?
Yes, I believe so.
He scored three goals.
Yeah.
It's a Quebec
Maybe.
League. I think he scored three goals in every shift in the Quebec League.
No, that's the AHL.
Oh, I wasn't thinking Laval. Yeah, right. He's very talented scorer, right? Like that was the MO on him going
scores,
into the draft?
He scores all the time, and he's too small.
Yeah,
but he just scores goals.
Wow.
They don't give you the goals based on your height. Anyway, he'll be a fun one to watch because if he scores a ton, it'll be the hockey world wrong about a guy because they thought he was too small.
Hey, by the way, the North Division
turning
out to be quite the entertaining race.
Montreal trying to hold on?
Montreal holding on with Calgary chasing him. But with what's going on with Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, like every time the Leafs lose a game, I feel like people are freaking out at TSN and Sportsnet's website with their articles. Like it's, I honestly thought they were going to run away with the division. So yeah, turning out to be a great race. And the other thing, go ahead. I was going to make a Canucks point real quick, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to follow up with a quote that I saw yesterday from a piece in The Athletic, about here's Cole Caulfield. He's too small. He falls down the lineup. He can't, whatever. Hmm. We don't believe in him because he's too small. So there's a piece in The Athletic where it's about Jason Spezza, and Ian Mendes spoke about Spezza and said, here's what it's written in The Athletic. When Ottawa would dress a super tough guy, like let's say they would dress Matt Cassian in the lineup, I remember Jason explaining to me, listen, you're going to hear a lot of people tell you you had a tough guy in the lineup, and everybody feels like they're 2 inches taller, and that's why we like it.
Huh.
And he goes on to say, this is Mendes relaying what Spezza said, he's like, no, we love it because we're playing with only 11 forwards. That way guys like me get more time.
Yeah.
That's just funny.
Wow.
It's just, why do you like that guy in the lineup? Because he won't play. I get to play instead.
He plays 4 minutes or whatever the number is.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You don't have to subscribe to it all the way. It's just Spets has played an awful lot of games, played an awful lot of goals, and that's I'd never heard that kind of that side of it before.
Not that Vancouver's in the race. They aren't. They're not going to make the playoffs. But so they were supposed to resume their schedule tonight, and the Canucks complained to the league, to the PA, and understandably so, that, I mean, they had, you thought the Sabres COVID situation was bad. The Canucks was awful. And more guys and really serious issues, health issues and all that. And they're coming back. They were going to have one practice and I think even play back-to-back games this weekend. So they went to the league and said, what, are you crazy? And the league said, yeah, we might be. So they delayed the resumption of their season. But the league came out yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they said they still anticipate and are going to try and have Vancouver play a complete schedule.
I mean, I would imagine they want to, right? There's probably some sort of clause they'd have to give money back if they don't.
They've played 37 games. So that would mean they've got 19 games left to play in 3 weeks.
Good luck.
Right? You can't. I mean, I understand games against Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Montreal, Calgary, significant games. Calgary's fighting to try and get into fourth. Toronto's trying to hold off Winnipeg, blah, blah, blah. So there are games that will impact the standings. I suppose if they're playing Ottawa, you could just say, who cares? But, man, that is, you know, the Sabres had a nutty schedule when they came back. What's today? April, what is today, boys? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So there's 14, there's 3 weeks left in the season, 22 days. You can't play 19 games in that stretch. It's pretty darn impossible. So I wait to see what the NHL does with that, because you just can't make Vancouver play that kind of stretch of hockey, that, even if they're playing teams that have an impact on the playoff race. That'd be ridiculous. What else? Is there anything else going on in the NHL? I'm still just kind of watching one division only.
Yeah. Well,
I look forward to the playoffs. You know what? It is odd, Jeremy. The playoffs will be looking at other teams that I really haven't paid attention to at all this season. I actually am fired up, because it's like three divisions haven't existed this year. I've been living in my little narrow little cubby hole of East Division hockey, and in the playoffs I'd be like, oh, look, it's been a while. How have you been? And I get to see all these other teams play, so that'll be fun.
Have you seen the controversial quotes from Trevor Lawrence?
Kind of. I think I might have seen some stuff on Twitter yesterday.
I mean,
is this okay? If you read it, I saw something that made me actually think about Josh Rosen. But go ahead, and the criticism he was getting, maybe this is that.
Well, he said about the idea of always trying to prove people wrong. He says, I think that's unhealthy. Just always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong. You've got to do more. You've got to be better. There's a quote from Trevor Lawrence's dad. He says, he's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. And his high school coach said he could walk away from it tomorrow. Football,
that was the one. That was
and
the
be
one.
Fine.
Right.
And the idea being that, you know, he does not think football is the end-all, mm-hmm. be-all of life.
Yeah.
Warren Sharp is where I saw this. Warren Sharp pointing out a couple days ago that I wonder if this, if it would be treated the same if somebody other than Trevor Lawrence had said this.
Right.
Right.
I saw specific references to what if Justin Fields had
right,
said
right.
this.
Right, right. That's who
but
Warren
I
Sharp
thought
said.
Of Josh
what if Justin
Rosen.
Fields said that?
Yeah. I mean, right, Rosen. What do you mean you could have a career after football in your business world and all this and all that? No. We're not drafting this kid. She's not thinking all about football. That's what basically Trevor Lawrence is doing, right?
Yeah.
He could walk away and he'd be fine. Ooh, yeah. Well, Jacksonville's not drafting him now. He's not all in on football. I mean, it's just silly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Fields thing. I like Fields. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't know where the heck he ends up in the draft, but every time, but maybe, trying to think. I know he didn't have a good playoff game, but pretty much every time I saw Justin Fields play for Ohio State,
he was awesome.
Fantastic. I mean,
and,
it's explosive.
You know, there's a couple things about it. Like, you could say that those quotes are silly, and you might be right, but there's no doubt there are NFL evaluators that, mm-hmm. when they see that about a person, it will change what they think of that person. It's why, you know, as you go to the draft, your agent might want to tell you to be quiet about everything but football. Just do that for 6 months. Can you just not talk about how you like to play guitar for 6 months? Because, you know, right or wrong, the point is you want to play their game. They are the gatekeepers that draft you, let you in. If you're a third-round defensive tackle, you know, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'll do anything it takes. I'm a dog on a bone every single day,
right.
Because that's what you've got to be to get drafted. And then, you know, you have a job. You can open up a little bit more. Of course, commit, do the job. But, you know, then don't be afraid to tweet about how you like to play guitar.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, you know, and again, it always comes down to, do you win? Are you winning? Winning matters. And, boy, Stephon Diggs had a tweet. Yeah, okay. Diggs had a tweet the other day about how much he likes candy or something. I forget what it was. He's like, eating bad stuff is so good. Or something funny. Just, you know, like
amen to that, by the way.
Right, right. A totally innocent tweet. And it made me think back to when people got mad about Stevie Johnson because he tweeted about eating tacos once. Remember that?
Like, yes, that's
you,
right.
You know,
And
it's just the nature of it. If you're a bad team, it's don't talk to me about tacos. And if you're a good team, it's like, tell me everything you think about tacos, you know?
But it's funny. Like, it's almost like if you're Trevor Lawrence, right, and you're in these silly draft meetings or the Zoom calls now, not the one-on-one meetings, right? And someone says, hey, so Trevor, we watch your football tape. We know what do you like to do in your downtime? And you get, well, I play in a band. I do this. I do that. And like, no. The answer is supposed to be downtime. I don't have downtime. I'm football, boys. I'm football. My downtime is watching more tape. Yeah, right. Okay. I mean, it's just whatever. Like, didn't Stefon Diggs talk about how he was able to bond with Josh Allen because they played video games last offseason? Right? Didn't, right? Allen wouldn't let him die. Wasn't that the deal? Like, yep. Every time Diggs, Allen would, like, instead of killing it, I don't know, because I'm not really up on what the heck was the video game.
Call of Duty.
Thank you. So what the deal was, Allen would, like, instead of, like, killing somebody, he would go try and help Diggs out, and he would get killed himself. And like, okay, why weren't you guys throwing a football or maybe, you know, talking about the playbook via Zoom instead? Whatever. That to me, the one about he could walk away with it, that was a big stink when people were talking about Josh Rosen and all the negatives beyond the hot tub in the dorm room and everything.
Right,
people were talking a lot about, does this kid really care about football? Does he have the burning desire because he was, interned some summer for a Wall Street company or something like that, and he has a business brain? I'm like, no. We need to know that you're in your playbook all the time because Lord knows you're going to play football for the next 40 years. It's just silly. Just really silly.
Well, I mean, think about, you could do this with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was catching a lot of flack for doing too many commercials. when he had a bad season.
Yeah.
Then what happened last season? Like, he kind of got quiet.
Yeah.
He's okay.
He wins. We don't worry about it.
Yeah, he did all right last year.
His commercials are funny, too. I really like the Baker Mayfield commercials.
Right. When are we getting Josh in a commercial, right? Shouldn't Josh pretty soon get into some sort of national commercial campaign?
Yeah.
Don't avoid that stuff if you get to be that good.
Yeah.
Maybe not television. I mean, who isn't? Rodgers is. Mahomes is. Brady's done plenty of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning is all over national TV.
Yep. Yeah, if you're that good, usually you get, you get a little something somewhere.
We're late to the break. What are the dogs barking at? Somebody at the door? What do you got going on?
Who knows? This morning at 5 a.m., we had a cat on our porch, and the dogs were freaking out.
By the way, I don't think it was a catch, but I don't have the video evidence to overturn the call. I think the Frisbee hit the ground.
No, definitely a catch.
You didn't think it was trapped?
100% a catch.
All right, fine.
Yeah, I was kidding when I tweeted that video of Goose catching that Frisbee. He's a rookie. He's got a lot of game, and that was definitely a catch.
All right, I thought maybe he used the ground to aid the catch.
No.
All right, we'll come back and wrap the show up in a moment. Instigators on the way in moments.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Don't even play the music. There's no time for music. Have a great weekend, Mr. White, and everybody out there, because we're super, super, super late. Instigators are coming up in a moment. We'll talk to you Monday morning.